Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
It is the Bart Winkler Show, but no Bart Winkler. Dan Plucker filling in the seat for him today. I'll be in tomorrow as well. Bart back on Thursday. We got to get out to the Great Midwest Bank hotline and talk with Keith Smith from SpotTrac and from Celtics Blog. Keith, how are you on this Tuesday morning?
A little tired, but doing all right.
It's been a crazy 24 hours, I'm sure, for you, trying to track all of this that's going on with the NBA free agency and all of these things that are happening. Some big money flying off the walls across the board throughout the entire league. What was the most surprising move to you yesterday in terms of a team that maybe overpaid a little bit too much?
Yeah, it's not getting noticed because of the player and I think the team, but the San Antonio Spurs giving $22 million to Zach Collins was definitely, that one really came out of nowhere. So that is, one that I don't really understand. This is a guy who hasn't been healthy for 2.5 years. So we'll see what the deal terms are with that. But then the Chris Paul one, that's the one that I think jumps off the page to everybody for, more of a name brand player.
Mm-hmm.
Because $122 million over 4 years at his age seems like a staggering amount. But the Suns kind of, I think, read it and said, hey, we had the best year we've had in over a decade. We don't want to reset and kind of start over. Let's keep this guy home. Let's run it back. And it sounds like there's going to be some non-guaranteed money on the end of that. So that deal probably isn't exactly the way it was, fully reported. So, I think that's, a surprising one, but I think in the end, perfectly fine for Phoenix.
So, and I want to talk to you about that, Keith, because it seems like a lot of teams are kind of forking out the money now for older players. And do you think that is partly because of what Chris Paul did in this playoffs, where he was so good for all the way through until the NBA Finals, even when he played well in the NBA Finals as well? Do you think the teams now kind of have a new look at what older veterans can look like? I mean, Kyle Lowry signed that big deal. Jimmy Butler's going to be paid for quite a while as an older player. And there are other examples of that yesterday as well. Do you think that some teams are a little bit more confident that a player can be just as good and really quality player in the playoffs, even at an older age?
Yeah, I think we've turned a corner with that big time. Chris Paul, Kyle Lowry, both getting big money yesterday. The fact that LeBron James is still doing what he's doing, going in, I think it's year 19, which is, just unbelievable. It used to be once you got past 30 in the NBA, it was starting to get a little bit questionable on how much money you should make. And then, you pushed much past that, it was going to be really questionable. I mean, heck, we're not that far away from having an over 35 rule that limited how much guys could make. And that now we've seen that amended to over 38. And it wouldn't surprise me if in the next CBA that becomes the over 40 rule. I think these guys are taking care of themselves better. Technology, medical, all that has caught up. to allow these guys to play deeper and deeper into careers and be successful players. And that's why these teams are comfortable handing out these massive sums of money, despite what seems like, you know, prior an extremely advanced age for the game of basketball.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking with Keith Smith from SpotTrack and Celtics Blog, I want to bring one thing up, and this is more for Milwaukee Bucks fans than anything else, but I want to talk about the whole tampering situation and everything that goes on before they are actually supposed to have conversations, and then things being reported right away. Like, on the nose, on the dot yesterday, Lonzo Ball getting traded to the Chicago Bulls in a sign-and-trade. And with what happened with the Bucks last season with the whole Bogdanovich situation, I know it was a little bit different. It happened a week before the free agency period was supposed to begin. So do you think that's a larger issue in the NBA that needs to be solved? Do you think that's something that Bucks fans have a legitimate gripe about? What are your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, it's a complicated issue that probably really shouldn't be. I'm going to be a little bit harsh in my phrasing here, but it's really kind of stupid the way this is handled and, willy-nilly enforced. It seems like, you know, there's times. Now, what the happened with the Bucks, that was pretty egregious because it was a double sign and trade that involved a restricted free agent. It was a week out. That one was like, all right, clearly, you know, we've got too much happening here that shouldn't be happening. But that said, everyone does this. So we can't be going after, you know, teams selectively here. It should be, you know, all right, there's no way. Even the Lonzo Ball deal, as you said, coming out right on the dot, where right as free agency opened, that's a sign and trade that involved a player being signed and traded back to New Orleans. Those are complicated things. These guys are good. They're not seconds to a minute good in getting these things negotiated. In my opinion, once a player is a pending free agent, so their season is over, let them talk to whoever they want to talk to. Let the teams talk to them. Just you know, go, because they're not under – technically, yes, they're under contract, but they're not going to play any more games. There's nothing else going on there. Just, you know, open it up. Let's just own this process. Or if you're going to enforce it, get really strict and start cracking down on it in right. A very real way. But, you know, for the most part, I believe just let it go. Who does it harm? It doesn't really hurt anybody. And if anything, it's better because everything gets moving quicker and teams can know what's going on and get things moving in a way. You got a guy under contract for, you know, Giannis is now under contract for the next 5 years with the Bucks. No one should be talking to him about anything unless it's the Bucks. That I firmly believe in because he's under contract. But a guy who's a pending free agent, let him go and just let's all move along and stop this silliness.
It seems like such an easy solution, Keith, but it's something that the NBA still cannot figure out. But what I kind of want to transition to is another sign and trade with Kyle Lowry, and we talked about him very briefly with the whole Chris Paul thing as well, but he's now on his way to the Heat. PJ Tucker goes to the Heat as well. Do you think they've positioned themselves to be sitting around the top of the Eastern Conference, or do you think this is just an effort to try to relive that NBA Finals run that they went on a couple of years ago, and it might flop?
Well, it's both, I think. I think they are positioned, you know, nicely to contend with Milwaukee and Brooklyn, and I'm still going to leave Philadelphia in there for now. Let's see what resolves with Ben Simmons and their roster, but I think that's your kind of top of the East, and then you've got a bunch of teams that slot into the next tier. But I think what we're seeing with Miami is they're making a big bet that we just talked about. Guys play better, you know, later into their career. But one thing that does happen is they miss a lot of games, whether it be to injuries, you know, they roll an ankle or pull a hamstring and they can't get past it in a week or so. It takes longer to get through those things than it ever did. Or they liberally rest those players. Miami has built a very old roster. And as it stands this morning, they don't have a ton of depth. Now they're going to keep working. They're going to fill out. Guys are going to catch on. It's a great place to live weather-wise. No state income tax here in Florida where I live. And then you've got these players who are going to kind of, you know, catch on there because it's a contender. It's a chance to win a ring. It's Miami. There's a lot of stuff there. So they'll fill out their depth fairly well. But it's going to be very interesting to see what Miami's kind of play here is to really keep themselves in that top tier, because as it stands today, I still have them behind Milwaukee and Brooklyn. Even if they did steal PJ Tucker away from the Bucks, and the Bucks don't have a realistic way to replace him.
Absolutely. And that's kind of where I wanted to go to next, talking with Keith Smith. Keith Smith from SpotTrack and Celtics blog, is PJ Tucker leaving Milwaukee and the impact that that has. Do you think the Bucks made a mistake not going over that luxury tax limit? And I know it would have been an absurd amount of money for the ownership. I think it was somewhere around $30 to $40 million a year for the ownership purposes to keep PJ Tucker, not against the salary cap, which I think some people don't understand. But do you think that they made a mistake letting him walk and not keeping him here in Milwaukee?
Well, let's see, you know, what the details are, because to me, one of two things happened here. Either PJ Tucker really wanted to play in Miami with those guys, and if he did, there's just not much the Bucks can do about it. That's why it's called free agency.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or
the Bucks cheaped out and they said, no, we're not going to beat that. Because the deal he got from the Heat, it was good, but it wasn't a number that the Bucks shouldn't have been able to match. A lot of times how this works is these guys, you know, they kind of say, all right, go get an offer, come back, we'll talk then. And the Bucks could have matched or beat that offer that PJ Tucker got with relative ease, I would imagine. As you said, it would have cost them a pretty penny in tax. But at that point, it's kind of just money. And when you're coming off a championship, there's at least some expectation that you'll spend to try to defend it. And the other piece is when Bobby Portis re-signed for what he did, he took a little bit of a haircut. He re-signed using only his non-bird rights, which allowed them to keep the full taxpayer mid-level exception of about $5.9 million. My assumption was, all right, they got Portis back. They'll re-sign Tucker using his bird rights. They'll still have that $5.9 million to go get a guard or a wing or something and really fill this bench out some. Now you're looking at, all right, Portis coming back, fantastic, great value deal for the Bucks on that one. And then Tucker's gone now, though. So now you still need someone else in the front court, still need a wing and a guard. You've only got about $5.9 million to spend. So let's see where they go. One other piece, though, minimum contracts for teams like Milwaukee, Miami, the LA teams, Brooklyn, you're going to get great values on really good veteran players on those minimum contracts, because what we're seeing is cap space and exceptions are drying up around the league. So those guys are going to be saying, all right, the money's the same everywhere. You know, is there a chance to play a real role and a chance to win? Great, I'll sign on. So the Bucks are positioned decently with the minimums that they'll have to fill up their bench.
So let's talk about one guy they did add yesterday to fill up their bench in Semi Ojeleye. What can you tell me about him? How much should Bucks fans be looking forward to him maybe taking a little bit of that PJ Tucker role back? Is that too much of an expectation for him? What are your thoughts on Semi?
Yeah, PJ Tucker light, I guess. He's never been quite as consistent as PJ Tucker has been as a defender or as a shooter. And I say that knowing PJ Tucker can be kind of a streaky shooter, but so can Ojeleye. The Bucks fans are going to love this guy. He's one of my favorite players I've ever covered in the league, just from the standpoint of he's just a good, good person. You will get used to, you know, I highly recommend, if you have the opportunity, be around the weight room when he's in there, because it's going to sound like there's some WWE action happening in there or something, because this guy, one of his nicknames in Boston was Combat Muscles, because he is absolutely jacked. He's a great guy for Giannis to go against daily in practice. That's kind of had grown into his role of defending big, strong ball handling forwards. It's definitely going to be a minimum deal for the Bucks. So, this is a good addition. I think, you know, there's a chance that he helps and, you know, fills things out. He's at this point better than the collection of kids that they're bringing off the bench, you know, kind of playing similar-ish type roles to him. So let's see what they do, further. But, yeah, Ojeleye on the minimum is a good addition.
Well, obviously we still have a lot of time left here in the postseason, Keith Smith. But as the changes we saw happened yesterday, how do you see the East kind of stacking up here? Because I think we can all agree that there's a top tier of the Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks. And then after that, there is like a unit of teams as well. And the Boston Celtics had a couple injuries late last season. Do you think they're back in that conversation? How far up do you think the Heat kind of move with the deals that they made yesterday? Do you think that they're up there in the tier one with Milwaukee and Brooklyn, or do you think they're in the tier right below them, kind of in that 3-5 range? What are your thoughts on how the East stacks up with a lot of time obviously still remaining in the offseason?
Yeah, and I apologize to anybody I leave out here because I'm doing this on about 2 hours sleep on the fly. But Brooklyn, Milwaukee. That there's your top of the conference. I'd say Miami, Philadelphia, just a tick below those two teams. Let's see what they do to retool in Philadelphia. Let's see how Miami fills out their depths, but they're just behind. Then after that, you get into a pretty good sized group of teams. I think Atlanta played a little over their heads last year, but I think they're still going to be a pretty good team. Boston, if they're healthier, despite the loss of Evan Fournier, if they can get their guys back on the court, they lost more games due to COVID than any team in the league. Mm-hmm. They had some significant injuries on top of that. Let's see where they go. You've got the Knicks. They're kind of running it back, but with Evan Fournier added, that's an interesting team to keep an eye on here moving it forward. So I think, you've got them. They're going to look pretty good. I'm very interested to see what the Wizards do, especially if they can pull off this Spencer Dinwiddie addition. Are they able to push up? The Indiana Pacers should be better with better health. They lost a ton of games due to injury. So that next group gets really kind of crowded. The Chicago Bulls made moves to try to push themselves up. You really only kind of have the Orlando Magic and Cleveland Cavaliers at the bottom of the conference that you're looking at and saying, all right, what's happening here? Orlando's clearly in a full rebuild around, a very, very, very young team. And then Cleveland's, trying to take incremental steps forward. So, we're going to see. But right now, I think the conference is positioned to be strong, very, very strong at the top with a pretty good, second tier middle class of teams. That's going to be a fight all the way through. And like it does most years, injuries and player development will have a big say in where everybody finishes.
Two more questions here for Keith Smith from SpotTrack and Celtics blog. I wanted to ask you about the Detroit Pistons and that addition of Cade Cunningham, because that was one team that you did not mention there, and I know you said you're on 2 hours of sleep, but I just wanted to bring them up because they added Cade Cunningham, they added Kelly Olynyk. Do you think that's a team that could be a sneaky, 10-9 seed maybe in the playoffs there, kind of sneak into that play-in tournament before the playoffs actually start? Or do you imagine them again back at the bottom of the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, my guess is they're closer to the bottom just because it looks like they're still kind of taking the rebuilding path. But this team wasn't as bad as their record looked at times last year. They actually started out kind of okay, and then they had some injuries. And then at that point, I think they very much said, let's not spend a lot of time and effort chasing a dream of getting into the play-in tournament. Let's just really kind of bottom this thing out. They mm-hmm. literally sack guys. But I think Cade Cunningham's going to be a fantastic addition for him. I think he's going to be a great NBA player. And then I think the free agent additions that they made of Kelly Olynyk, Trey Lyles, that helps fill out their front court a little bit. You can't go, everybody thinks it sounds great to tear it down and go with 12 young players that are all on rookie scale contracts. But those guys need veterans around to keep them organized, teach them how to, play, even, to some extent, teach them how to win, in close games and those kind of things. And then, just the capologist me and says, that sounds great until you have to pay all those young guys all, within a couple of years of each other.
Right.
That makes a mess. So, but for this season, I think Detroit has a chance to be kind of sneaky in the East. They're one of those teams that if a few teams, the wheels come off and their seasons, kind of go sideways on them, Detroit could bounce past them.
All right, one more question here for you, Keith. With the guys still out there, who do you think fits best in Milwaukee as a potential another veteran to add to this team and maybe even a player to use the mid-level exception on?
Yeah, I'm caught between them adding another guard or adding a big. If they go with the big, I think the place everybody's kind of logically connecting some dots is Paul Millsap, who has, experience playing for Mike Budenholzer in the past. He seems like he's been squeezed out of Denver as they went in a slightly different direction. You could even look at a return if you wanted to go with a true center of a guy like Robin Lopez. Seems like he might be out of the mix in Washington, and he could come in for that taxpayer mid-level. If you're going to go with a guard, Patty Mills, seems like a pretty – pretty good target for them. Or they could even let it play out and see, does someone like Reggie Jackson or Dennis Schroeder get completely squeezed out and that's all that's left for them? And could you kind of steal a guy like that? It's probably only going to be for a year, and then you kind of roll it over and figure it out after. But there's still pretty good options for Milwaukee. I feel very confident that they're going to get a couple nice bargains here, whether it be today or later this week in free agency, that we're going to look at it when kind of all the dust settles and we can really see everything, and we're going to say, wow, you know, the Bucks actually did all right rebounding from losing P.J. Tucker.
That's why he's one of the best. Keith Smith, contributor for SpotTrack and Celtics blog. Really appreciate the time today, Keith. Have a great rest of your Tuesday and hopefully get some sleep eventually one of these days.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. There he is, Keith Smith. On the Great Midwest Bank hotline, if applying for a home renovation loan has you feeling anxious, breathe and let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of banquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com. Always a pleasure to talk to him, break down some of those big moves in the NBA that go down and talk about this Eastern Conference and what could be next for the Milwaukee Bucks. I'd love to see a player like Dennis Schroeder or Reggie Jackson get anxious and just sign one of these one-year deals for the mid-level exception. It'll be really interesting to see how it plays out. The Bucks still a lot of time to add and still a big need to add a lot of players to their bench. We'll get into some more of that and talk to you about Bobby Portis re-signing P.J. Tucker, not and more about the NBA, John Axford being back in a Milwaukee Brewers uniform, at least for a rather short stint. And then also some NFL news as well. All of that coming up next here on the Bart Winkler Show. It's Dan Plucker filling in for Bart today, yesterday, and tomorrow.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's the Bart Winkler Show on a Tuesday. Dan Plucker filling in the chair for Bart today, hanging out with you. Keith Smith joined us in that last segment of the show. It was a great interview. Lots of insight about all the things happening in the NBA around your Milwaukee Bucks as well. All of those conversations were great with him. If you miss any of the interview, you can go to 1250amthefan.com or the Odyssey app. Use the rewind function. And it'll be podcasted shortly after the top of the hour as Toby Altizer, our producer, does a great job as always putting those up quickly. Earlier in the show, we talked about the Brewers and their chances of making a World Series. What does that mean? How do they get there? We talked about Bobby Portis and PJ Tucker, and if any team in the East did enough to catch the Milwaukee Bucks. It's kind of been the topics of conversation so far today. Right now, we're kind of going to kind of recap all of that and do a little bit of a news dump here on the Bart Winkler Show, starting with your Milwaukee Bucks and Bobby Portis. And if you missed this, Bobby Portis is back. Bobby Portis is back for the next two seasons here with the Milwaukee Bucks. Signed a two-year, $8.9 million contract. He averaged 11 points a game, 7 rebounds a game, while shooting 47% from deep for your Milwaukee Bucks. One of the best three-point shooters in the league last season in 66 games. So very happy to have Bobby Portis back. Was an absolute animal on the court. Really did his thing in the NBA Finals and has showed that he's a starting-level player that the Bucks got for cheap. $4.5 million a year, was expected to make somewhere around 20 on the open market. So blessed to have him back in Milwaukee and really excited to see what he can do with this team moving forward. But where the Bucks lost out was with PJ Tucker. They did not re-sign him. He signed a two-year, $15 million contract with the Heat. And the Bucks had bird rights on him, which means they could have signed him and spent a little bit more money, and it would not have affected the cap as heavily if that was the case. Instead, he goes to Miami, and he's one of the best defensive players in the NBA. And with what the Miami Heat are trying to build and the toughness that they're trying to display, Tucker is a perfect fit for what they're going for right now. It's a loss for the Bucks, a win for one of their opponents, and it's something that makes me a little bit nervous. And whether it was a money thing, which is what it kind of looks like, or Tucker deciding that he thinks the Miami Heat have a better chance of winning a title this year than the Milwaukee Bucks. Or maybe it was the weather, maybe it was any of these certain things. It's still a bummer to lose out on PJ Tucker, and in my eyes, potentially a mistake to let him walk out the door. To respond to that, the Bucks signed Semi Ojeleye to a veteran minimum contract. He was with the Celtics. This is his age 27 season, and that'll fill the Tucker hole. We just talked to Keith Smith, said that this dude is an absolute beast when it comes to the weight room. His physicality, his defense is what he's known for, and he's been praised in the past for his defense on Giannis and on Kawhi Leonard in some pretty big situations. Played about 17 minutes a game for the Celtics last season, but where the question marks come in with him, again, like PJ Tucker, are on the offensive end, but PJ Tucker seems to know his role a little bit more and understand more of the game of basketball, I'll put it that way, than Semi Ojeleye. And it's going to be an interesting thing to see. We heard from Keith Smith. He said he was one of his favorite players to cover, a great guy, a big dude, a physical dude, and somebody that he really liked. Other guys, Celtics reporters that I've seen, have called him frustrating and really difficult to watch at times. It'll be interesting to see how his development plays out with the Milwaukee Bucks. Hopefully they can get the most out of him. Hopefully PJ Tucker helped get the most out of Giannis and Bobby Portis and Brooke Lopez and some of these dudes for the long term, as they won an NBA Finals and need to continue that physicality going forward, as there are some big physical teams that could stand in their way in a path to hopefully another NBA Finals. We got Bucks Lust here on 1250 AM The Fan. And who else who has Bucks Lust is former Badger Dimitri Trice, who is joining the Milwaukee Bucks Summer League team this summer in Las Vegas. You can keep your eye out for him if you enjoy any of those Summer League games. Another Badger, Micah Potter, signs with the Miami Heat as well for the Summer League. So two Badgers who are on their trips to the NBA find homes, at least for the time being, hopefully for the long term. And speaking of those Wisconsin Badgers, former assistant Alondo Tucker, who was fired back in May of 2021, kind of out of nowhere, apparently tried to run some kind of coup to get the Wisconsin Badgers to fire Greg Gard and hire him as the head coach. And after seeing what happened earlier this offseason with that tape mysteriously appearing to a newspaper company in Madison, where the news and the media somehow get the hold of a like 15-minute conversation, I think it was, in the locker room, where seniors were attacking Greg Gard and saying they hardly knew him, saying that they were disappointed in their time at Wisconsin, all of this stuff. It's really interesting to see this Alondo Tucker news kind of come out of nowhere, and in that conversation and in that ilk and all of that stuff happening in the Badgers program. And hopefully that all gets figured out and the Badgers are back on the court. Brad Davison will be the leader of that team this season. And it'll be interesting to see as the Badgers hopefully have another solid season in a very tough Big Ten conference when it comes to basketball. That could be getting even tougher depending on what happens with the Big 12 in college sports, as well as that whole conference could be wiped from existence very shortly as Texas and Oklahoma are expected to join the SEC. Maybe a team like Kansas, maybe a team like Oklahoma State find their way into the Big Ten. We'll see kind of how that develops. Let's move on to the Brewers, who placed Josh Hader on the COVID injured list. He joins Hunter Strickland, Jake Cousins, Christian Yelich on that list. Jace Peterson was removed from that list. So hopefully the rest of these guys continue to get healthier, continue to get better in the midst of this COVID outbreak within the team. Hopefully there are no more cases in that situation as well. After last night's 6-2 win over the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Brewers are the best team in baseball since May 22nd, which also just happens to be the day that they acquired Willy Adames. They're 43-20 in that span. 43-20. That is absurd how good the Milwaukee Brewers have been since acquiring Willy Adames, and they've only gotten better since then, adding Eduardo Escobar, who had a triple and a home run in yesterday's game and impacted the offensive end for your Milwaukee Brewers. And one other thing, which we have not touched on yet that we definitely need to get to, is John Axford. Like, what in the world? I could not believe my eyes when I saw this yesterday. It was right after the Bart Winkler show. As soon as the big show starts, I go behind the glass and stand by our producer, Toby, who always does an excellent job. And he's like, look at this. And it's a tweet from the Brewers saying that they traded for and acquired John Axford, a 38-year-old now at this point, who was once the single season and still is the single season franchise saves record holder for the Milwaukee Brewers, and then had a tough exit after that, but had that one just dominant season for the Brewers, and it was a flashback, and we were both like, this is fake. We were like, this can't be the actual Milwaukee Brewers, especially with it being after the trade deadline. And sure enough, in yesterday's game, John Axford out of nowhere appears. Toby, what you got?
Yeah, I mean, I think I threw Sparky for a loop. He was about to start the show. The opening is already playing. In Sparky's ear, I said, the Brewers just acquired John Axford. He said, what? No way.
Yeah.
And sure enough, they did. And Dan, tell us what they gave up for him.
Let's go through this story. Okay, so this is from the ESPN article. Axford began this season as a studio analyst on the Blue Jays television broadcast, very similar to what Tim Dillard is doing right now for the Milwaukee Brewers, which he obviously poked a little fun at as well on social media, if you missed that, at Dim Tillard on Twitter. And after pitching for Canada in the Olympics, so he went to the Olympics as a qualifier, he signed a minor league contract with the Blue Jays on June 24th. So we're talking just a couple of weeks ago. Actually, at this point, a little bit over a month ago. But still, he went 1-0 with a .84 ERA and 9 relief appearances since joining the Blue Jays AAA affiliate in Buffalo. Axford struck out 14 batters, allowed 3 walks, and just 2 hits in 10 2/3 innings. So opposing batters were hitting just .061 against him. Although Major League Baseball's trade deadline was on Friday, the Brewers acquired Axford for $1. For $1. They sent they literally called up the Blue Jays, said, yo, what do you want for John Axford? We have some COVID issues in our bullpen. And they go, yeah, you can just have him, but you can't technically do that. So the Brewers give the Blue Jays $1, a single dollar. You could have traded for John Axford yesterday, Toby, by pulling out a dollar from your pocket, calling the Blue Jays GM and just being like, hey, we want John Axford to work at our radio station. We'll give you a dollar.
I mean, it's $1.25 in Canadian money, so I guess it makes it worth it. I don't know. That's a crazy story, though. I just paid for this guy for a dollar. I just traded a dollar for this guy. Now come put on my uniform and pitch for
me
tonight.
We've all heard the trading for a bag of balls or a bunch of bats or whatever you want to say. This is worse than that.
Throwing a bag of chips.
They gave them a dollar. It's like buying a pack of gum to get John Axford, essentially.
Maybe their GM can go to Tim Hortons and get a nice coffee or something this morning.
Just absolutely crazy story. But it gets even crazier from there because he last pitched in the majors in 2018, and Axford, of course, pitched for the Brewers from 2009 to 2013, set a team record. by collecting 46 saves in 2011. So we're talking 10 seasons ago. 10 years ago is when he had his one fantastic season with the Milwaukee Brewers. A franchise record 43 consecutive saves without blowing a save opportunity. He's second all time in Milwaukee Brewers save ranks behind only Dan Plesac. Has 106 saves, Plesac to Plesac's 133. And he pitched yesterday, which is like this story gets even crazier. So the Brewers acquire this dude for a dollar, bring back this guy that hasn't pitched in the major leagues for three seasons, had his best season 10 years ago, is 38 years old, send a dollar to the Blue Jays to bring him here to Milwaukee, and his first game putting on that number 59 again, he pitches. He pitches. He's actually in the game. Like this is how crazy it gets. And not only does he pitch, but he hits a batter with the first. Like, it goes kind of how you would expect this to go, with John Axford being bought for a dollar, not having pitched in the major leagues for 3 years. He hits the first batter, gets an out, and then allows two hits for the next two batters and leaves the game with an elbow injury and now has an MRI set to look at what happened. I hope he's okay. I hope the best for John Axford. But what a wild story. That may be one of the craziest stories that I have ever heard in terms of how a player was acquired and brought in and pitched in the modern era. Like, that is unbelievable. 414-799-1250. If you have another story like that that maybe I'm missing, whether it be, I think there was a very similar one in hockey where, like, they a team brought in a goaltender who was a high school teacher for like the previous 3 years or something like that, and previously had an NHL career, and they brought him in and he got a big win or something. I don't remember exactly what went down, but if you have another story like that I'm missing, please call in. I love weird, wacky stuff like this that happens in sports. So 414-799-1250. And John Axford, just what in the world? Like, that was something. I don't know what to say about it. It was crazy. I can't believe that it happened, but I'm happy it did, because we get to talk about it on this show, the Bart Winkler Show, Dan Plucker filling in. And it's just a crazy, energetic story that gives, like, me almost new life to be able to talk about on the radio, because when does this happen? And in what organization does this get the opportunity to happen? And it happened for the Milwaukee Brewers with a guy like John Axford. Absolutely insane that all went down. A couple other moves for the Brewers. Pablo Reyes and Patrick Weigel went down to AAA. Jace Peterson reinstated. And obviously, John Axford acquired and on the Brewers roster for the time being. We'll see if that $1 payment pays off for the Milwaukee Brewers. Hopefully, again, like I said, it's a funny story, but I'm praying for the best of success for John Axford and for him to get healthy after what went down with him. Now let's move on to the NBA as well, because there were some NBA moves across the league that we didn't really get a chance to really touch on outside of maybe a little bit of our conversation with Keith Smith at the top of the hour. First of all, Chris Paul, who is like 36, 37, I think. 38, is it? Do you remember? How old is Chris Paul? Look that up for me real quick, Toby, if you can. And right now, Chris Paul re-signed with the Phoenix Suns, turned down $44 million, and exchanged, signed a four-year, $120 million contract with the Phoenix Suns. He's 36, so he'll be 40 by the time this deal is over. Chris Paul is 36. He'll be 40 by the time this four-year, $120 million contract goes up. Just crazy. That is absolutely nuts. A bunch of money for an aging vet. Let's get out to the phones, because a couple people are calling in to give me a couple more of these crazy circumstantial things like John Axford. And that includes Justin and Sturdivant, who's now on the Bart Winkler Show. Dan Plucker filling in. Justin, what you got for me? What crazy story do I need to be made aware of?
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's going on?
Love the show.
Thank you.
Love listening to you guys. Kurt Warner's story from the grocery bag to Super Bowl champion.
Absolutely, that's another one.
Yeah, that's a crazy story. Like, I did some background research on that one, and man, like, they barely scouted him. Like, they found him at like a practice field throwing ball, mm-hmm. and that's how they scouted him.
Yeah, Isn't that just, I love stories like that. It's just absolutely nuts. Justin, thanks for the call. And while Kurt Warner was more of like an unknown, where he was, like he said, bagging groceries and then joins a team and becomes a Super Bowl winning champion and a Hall of Famer, and he comes out of nowhere, it's one of the most inspiring stories in the history of sports. And I don't know if this John Axford thing is in that same ilk, is of that same conversation, but it's absolutely crazy that it happened. Alex and Tosa joins us now on the Bart Winkler Show with Dan Plucker. What's going on, Alex?
Hey, Dan. I was just thinking of, actually, when you said that, I don't know if you guys are big hockey fans, but there was the Zamboni driver in Toronto got pulled out to play goalie against Toronto, and he hadn't played hockey in like a handful of years, was just a pickup guy, and he went out and had like six saves and ended up winning the game in the third period for them. So
that's just crazy.
One day story. So, you know,
Alex, I love it.
He's back at work.
Exactly. He's back to riding the Zamboni the next day. Alex, appreciate the call. Just stuff like that. It's totally crazy. It's like, it gives me hope that like my days of being a baseball player or a football player, I played both, or maybe even basketball. I'm not solid enough to play in the NBA, and I could never be at any of that level, but it gives me this sliver of hope that maybe someday like the Brewers or the Packers will notice me, and I'll just be like tossing a ball around or something on a public field, and a scout will drive by and be like, dang, we gotta sign this guy.
I mean, the real question is, can you throw 98, Dan? Because if you can, maybe, but if you're throwing 85, they're probably gonna be like,
no, I can't throw 98. But it still gives me a glimpse of hope that maybe an organization will be so desperate someday that they'll literally just see me lobbing a ball back and forth with one of my friends, and they'll be like, that dude is an MLB player tomorrow for one day.
Yeah, I'm hoping that
a lifetime dream.
Well, and hopefully you get a little more than that dollar that they paid or set away for John Axford, but hey,
well,
man.
Well, I mean, they're still paying Axford's contract, whatever that was. I don't know what his contract is.
$2.
But $2. A total of $3 to acquire John Axford. No, I love it, though. This is such a cool, unique story, and it's something that I absolutely love. Let's get back into the NBA here. Chris Paul, like I said, signs that big deal, and it's going to be really interesting because I don't know how that's going to play out. He's going to be 40 years old making $40 million.
You're right, but the reason I think that they did it was to create a little bit of room. Is Chris Paul was initially slated to make about $45 or $46 million this year on a player option, and he opted out of that and instead signs a four-year deal. So now it's $30 million a year.
Right.
So what it does is it creates
Math
a little
hard.
Bit of cap room for
it
them
does.
To do something in the next couple
and
years.
And Chris Paul gets paid a lot of money going forward beyond
It's true, but
maybe his post-prime years, I'll put it that way.
Without a doubt. But the Suns realize now that they were just in the NBA Finals. Let's make a run for it and this next year and maybe the year after that. And then they'll just have to deal with the consequences of paying a guy like Chris Paul when he's 39 and 40.
Yep. No, absolutely. Another guy getting paid is Hawks. Still on his rookie contract, I guess, Trae Young, who's expected to sign a five-year deal over $200 million, a huge payday for him and well-deserved because he helped that Hawks team get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And as Keith Smith said, he said maybe overplay their expectations, overplay maybe the talent that they have. Well, Trae Young was a big part of that. And if he had not gotten hurt, that series with the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals may have been quite a bit more interesting as it went down the stretch. I mean, Giannis got hurt too. It was interesting all around, but he's a young, talented player that has the capability to be a superstar in this league and probably is already in that conversation and could help his team win a championship in the very near future. Steph Curry expected to sign a four-year, $215 million extension as well. He'll be 38 when that is lined up. So he is 34 right now, I believe. So his age 38 season, he will be done with that contract with the Golden State Warriors, but they lock up their guy. And I mean, he's bringing in what? Probably 10 times that for the player that he is and the image that he has built himself with the Golden State Warriors as one of the most popular players in the NBA and across the world. I mean, when they were going on those championship runs, I just remember everybody walking around with a Steph Curry jersey, and that still is very much the case. You can see them pretty much anywhere, even here in the city of Milwaukee with a guy like Giannis, and now as great as he is, we saw quite a few Steph Curry jerseys during that run, and even so to this day. So Steph Curry, well-deserved. Jimmy Butler expected to re-up with the Heat on a four-year, $185 million extension. He'll be 36 when that deal is over. The Heat also agreed to a sign-and-trade to acquire Kyle Lowry, 3 years, $90 million. He'll be 38 when that deal is over. The Heat extended Duncan Robinson on a five-year, $90 million deal, the richest contract ever for an undrafted player. Congratulations to him. It shows that hard work can pay off. I mean, that dude was at a D3 college. A D3 college with like 2 years of eligibility left, went to Michigan, went undrafted in the NBA, and now was making $90 million a year being able to shoot the basketball almost exclusively. And we saw sharpshooters get paid yesterday. Doug McDermott got paid a bunch of money from the San Antonio Spurs. I think it was like 3 years, $24 million, $25 million, somewhere in that range. Off the top of my head, I can't remember exactly. And then also Norman Powell signing for 5 years, $90 million as well with the Toronto Blazers. So guys that can shoot the basketball getting absolutely paid. The Heat also acquired PJ Tucker, and now they built one of the toughest teams in the NBA with Lowry, Butler, Tucker, and Bam Adebayo, with Duncan Robinson maybe as a starter, Tyler Hero, if he wakes up a little bit, maybe being the starter there in Miami. A solid team that could be a threat. I'm still kind of along here with Toby, where I don't think they're quite there yet, and I don't know if they ever will get there, and this is an older team, so we'll see how that all develops throughout the course of the season. But the Milwaukee Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets should still be the favorites in that. And speaking of those Nets, Blake Griffin re-ups on a one-year deal with the Nets, so he is going to be back in that team, on that team, adding another all-star caliber player to them. So if they have a healthy roster, I mean, you're looking at Blake Griffin, Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Kyrie Irving. That's going to be tough for any team to beat. The question still remains, though, if they can stay healthy with their big three only playing a total of 10 games together last season. And until that point, I'm not going to put all my faith in them that they're the best team ever assembled, because we have not seen them together. And that's a big part of all of this. A team that's looking to hopefully get in that playoff conversation is the Chicago Bulls, who are just on the outside looking in last season as the 11th team in the Eastern Conference Finals. Remember, or in the Eastern Conference, I should say. Remember, those teams from 7 to 10 play in a playoff tournament, the best two teams get into the NBA playoffs then, and the Bulls were just outside of that tournament last season, affected by COVID a season ago, and made some big moves late in the year last year, acquiring Vucevic, dumping some contracts here and there, and now also getting Lonzo Ball on a sign and trade, 4 years, $85 million. They also signed Alex Caruso away from the Lakers for 4 years, $37 million, and lose Evan Fournier, though, who goes on to the Knicks and makes big money with the Knicks, 4 years, $78 million. The Knicks also retain Derrick Rose and Nerlens Noel. So the Knicks, a playoff team last year, hopefully trying to get back into that conversation again this season. The Jazz, who were one of the best teams in the Western Conference a season ago, re-upped Mike Conley, and now they are still in the NBA Finals conversation as well as one of the best teams in the West a season ago. They hope to be the same this year. Another team to get back in, hoping to get back in that conversation, is the Lakers, who after trading for Russell Westbrook last week and having a total roster at that point of Westbrook, LeBron, AD, and Mark Gasol, added a couple of veterans yesterday. They signed Kent Bazemore, brought back Dwight Howard, who was a member of the championship team and then went to Philly, now a free agent again, comes back to LA with the Lakers. They also signed Trevor Ariza and Wayne Ellington. Man, 5 years ago, this would have been one of the most dominant teams in NBA history, and they still could very well be that. Lots of question marks there. Who's going to control the ball more, Russell Westbrook or LeBron James? And how is that all going to work out? I know they all sat down at a table today, came up with some sort of peace treaty that said, we're all going to play together and be happy and be friends together all season long, and we're going to win a championship. But when things actually come down to it and NBA games actually start, how is that going to look when Russell Westbrook is asked to play off the ball? I don't know how that looks. We haven't really seen that in Russell Westbrook's career. He's always been a ball dominant player. And LeBron James is pretty similar. Always been a ball dominant player, and his best at this point in his career, potentially his best attribute being his playmaking ability to take the ball out of his hands and put it in Russell Westbrook's hands. It's going to be messy. I don't know if it's going to work out as perfectly as it should, maybe, in a lot of people's eyes, but expectations should remain for them to be the best team in the Western Conference because of the pure talent that they have. I mean, we're talking about two guys who have won MVP awards multiple times with Russell Westbrook and LeBron James, or at least been in the conversation multiple times. I think Russell might only have one. Toby, double check that for me, but I think he might only have one. But both have averaged triple doubles in the past as well. And Anthony Davis being the player that he is, you know, if he had never joined the Lakers, obviously I don't think he would be a champion, but I think that his numbers would be inflated so much higher because when he was with the Pelicans, I mean, we were talking about Russell Westbrook has won one. Thank you, Toby. But obviously LeBron has won multiple and has multiple rings in multiple places with multiple organizations. And Anthony Davis, I think his numbers would be even bigger, even more impressive if he was elsewhere where he was kind of the number one player. And at this point, I mean, is he the number three? I don't think he should be in terms of how much possession time that he actually gets with the basketball. He should be the dominant player on that team, but I don't know if he's going to be with Russell Westbrook and LeBron James commanding what they want and what they think that they need. Still, the Lakers sign a bunch of veterans, a bunch of 35-plus-year-olds, and with rest, they need to add a couple of young guys on this team. Talen Horton-Tucker, who they've been really high on, expected to re-sign there as well. Alex Caruso, though, they lose out on him as he goes to the Bulls, as we talked about earlier. The Blazers sign Cody Zeller and then re-sign Norman Powell to a 5-year, $90 million contract. A guy that's a borderline starter making that much money to shoot the basketball is impressive. None the least, good for him. I'm happy he got paid. I don't know if I would have paid $90 million for Norman Powell, though. So we'll watch that as that develops. And Damian Lillard kind of seeing what the Trailblazers are doing. Is he going to be comfortable there? Is he going to be wanting to get out of that situation now, seeing what they did? Lots of question marks still there in Portland, and it sounds like Dame wants to stay. I would imagine that Damian Lillard wants to stay, but if he doesn't think that they've done enough to help him become an NBA champion on that or in that organization, on that team, maybe we see Damian Lillard get moved at some point this season. It's one of the things that a lot of the NBA is watching the closest this offseason. And then the Mavericks, they kept Tim Hardaway Jr. at $72 million over the next 4 seasons. Carson Wentz, let's move to the NFL. He's going to be out 5 to 12 weeks after having surgery to repair damage in his foot/ankle. So that is something to watch out for the rest of the Colts organization and that team. They currently don't really have a quarterback. I mean, they have Jacob Eason, I think, is the guy who they drafted last season who could be there to replace Carson Wentz and maybe the guy that they look to going forward. The Colts organization is a fantastic organization. They always figure out a way to be at least somewhat competitive, and I expect the same thing. Now, one player that they were potentially looking at least reportedly not right now at this time, but that would make sense, is a player like Nick Foles. And he's currently with the Chicago Bears, as we all know, one of the three quarterbacks there with Justin Fields and Andy Dalton. And Nick Foles, who is a Super Bowl winner, is probably expected to be the third guy in that locker room. And I don't think he's going to want to be the third guy. So when an opportunity like the Colts steps up, Nick Foles is going to say some things like this. He said that he is in a better spot in his career today than where he was when he won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. Those words came out of his mouth at practice yesterday, where he said that he is better right now than he was when he won a Super Bowl. I don't know if I buy that, Nick Foles, but I understand what you're doing, trying to get yourself out of there and a team to acquire you to help with their organization. The Bills, let's move up north a little bit. The Bills threaten to move out of Austin, Texas if their stadium demands are not met by the city of Buffalo. So they're kind of putting the hammer down right now, hoping to get a new stadium in Buffalo. And we've all seen Bills Mafia and how crazy they get before games and during games and after games. Now imagine if their team leaves. They will riot in the city of Buffalo, and it will be absolutely crazy. And another thing that would make Buffalo fans upset absolutely crazy is Josh Allen, who is currently in contract negotiations to stay in Buffalo, one of the best and brightest young quarterbacks in the league at this point, had a fantastic MVP caliber season last year and is expected to do the same this year. But if they don't come up with an agreement by week one, both sides have agreed to table those contract talks, and then they move on to the offseason. I don't think anybody wants that. So they will hopefully be having those conversations soon, as Buffalo hopefully don't lose their the Bills hopefully don't lose their city and their quarterback. That would be just about the absolute worst thing, worst case scenario for those teams. Also in NFL news, the Packers today padded practice for the first time. That's exciting. So they we get to see full-fledged Green Bay Packers practice today, which is absolutely beautiful, and hope that that all goes well. Giannis in Greece right now as well. More Wisconsin news. He took the Larry O'Brien trophy with him, and looks like they are having some fire issues in Greece right now. He just tweeted, "We hope we do not have victims from the fire. It goes without saying that we are canceling today's celebration in Sapolia. We will inform you about a new day and new time." So maybe there was a fire around the parade that he was expected to have for his winning the championship as well, and celebrating in Greece with all that's going on. With all that being said, that's pretty much the show today. If you missed anything, again, we talked about Bobby Portis and PJ Tucker. Portis re-signs with the team. Tucker doesn't. What's next for the Bucks? That was the first hour of the show. If you missed that, podcast on 1250 AM. The Fan is up. You can listen to it there. We also talked about John Axford this hour and that absolutely crazy story. If you missed that conversation and our conversation with Keith Smith from earlier this hour, that will also be podcasted shortly, 7 AM hour. We talked about the Brewers and what they need to do to win a World Series, touched on that. And then in last hour of the show, we talked about the rest of the NBA. Did any team in the East catch up to the Bucks? Is there anybody out there that we really need to worry about for Milwaukee as they look to reclaim the NBA championship? We also talked a little bit about the Packers, Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon, not listed as a top five unit in the NFL. Do you agree at the running back position? That was from PFF. All of that podcasted on 1250 AM. The Fan. You can rewind on the Odyssey app to listen to the whole thing. He is Toby Altizer. I am Dan Plucker. Been an absolute blast. Day two with you from 6 to 10 AM. I will also be in tomorrow filling in for Bart. Bart's back on Thursday. Coming up next, the Wendy's Big Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.